up, everybody? It is Scorecard following the final men's major of the year. Of course, the Open Championship done and dusted. We're going to grade the majors here in a bit. We're going to grade some of the most notable names all season long and how they played the major championships. But, I mean, everybody wondering our thoughts on so many big storylines in and around golf. So we'll start with the one most people are interested in. Wags, where'd you play golf in Scotland following your Scottish Open duties?
I played everywhere. Played Nairn, played Royal Dornoch, Brora, Castle Stewart, both courses there. The old Petty course just opened up, and it was fantastic. And down at the East Lothian, played North Berwick and 36 holes of alternate shot at Muirfield. So it was a incredible trip. I think I played 9 rounds in 8 days. My son ended up playing 10 rounds in 8 days, so it was a great, great trip.
How many of those gin drinks did you have at lunch in between your 18-hole rounds?
two. I had two. The Pimm's.
Two.
Yeah, they
two
were. About- they get. It was perfect.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, I mean, speaking of perfect, probably a good segue into Ryan Fox in the finish, Patrick. I mean, it was a very interesting men's major year. You and I talked about that a couple of weeks ago, in terms of just not every year is all bangers, and we've had some kind of random quote unquote players take home the majors. All that to be said, Ryan Fox with a birdie at the last gets it done, one over Cam Young, two clear of Sam Burns, who was in control through 3 rounds. It felt like Tommy Fleetwood bucked a little bit. The notable names not necessarily in the conversation headed into Sunday, and if somebody's gonna go snag it, you might as well do it the way Ryan Fox did it with that big tee shot 18 and the birdie. I mean, it was really, really crazy to watch the way he was able to kind of stay in control of his emotions, Patrick, when you saw how nervous he was kind of in between the shots.
Yeah, I think when you look at the last 3 major winners, you have Aaron Rye, whose best finish was T19. Wyndham Clark has 3 top 20 finishes in majors, and 2 of them are the U.S. Open. And then Ryan Fox didn't have a top 10 in a major either. So it really says something about the person to rise to the occasion and seize the moment, knowing they had never been in it before, knowing, you know, this could be the one time. And you talk about 18, Shane, but really the last 2 hours, it felt like this guy did not miss a single golf shot. He got 2 bad breaks, I thought, there on 15. The decision-making, how quickly he realized what to do, making that bogey, that was probably the biggest hole, in my opinion, of that back 9. And then there on the par 5, 17th, hitting an iron just, I think, like 500 yards, unfortunately, with how fast it was running and into the fairway bunker there. But I think it just says a lot about the guy, his ability to seize the moment. And obviously, PGA Tour fans aren't too familiar with him, but he's been around for a minute now, a winner at the BMW PGA Championship, and 2 times a winner last year on the PGA Tour. So clearly has a knack for winning when he's in the heat of contention.
Yeah, Wags, I was kind of going through the list of major winners because, you know, birdie in the last hole. I mean, you know, this was one of the hardest holes on the entire golf course he makes birdie on. But birdie in the last hole at a major championship to win by 1. So basically needing a birdie to get it done. You know, I don't think golf fans understand how rare that is. I was going through the last 12 years in terms of players that made birdie on the last hole or made birdie on a playoff hole to win. And I have Fox, obviously, at this Open Championship. Rory last year makes the birdie in the playoff. Xander made birdie at the 24 PGA to get it done. Cam Smith made birdie at 18 at St. Andrews. Rahm finishes birdie at that U.S. Open to win by 1 at Torrey in 21. Sergio at the 17 Masters. And Jordan Spieth at that U.S. Open when he had an eagle putt and missed it. It was a 2-putt for birdie there. To make a 11-12-footer, I mean, it just does not happen that often in golf, considering what everybody's playing for and the amount of pressure that comes with trying to make birdie on the last to win a major championship.
I really enjoyed his sound after the round 2 when he said he was on the 18th tee talking to his caddy, where he said, "Let's go for it. We're going to win this thing." Absolutely stripes the driver down the middle of that fairway, whereas the day before he was in that fairway bunker, needed birdie for 61 in history, and he hits a great shot that just narrowly catches the lip to come up 40 feet, but then to execute the 9-iron. And I mean, that hole for a right-handed golfer playing with the wind directly off the left with all those bunkers pinching that fairway to hit those 2 shots, and then what he said he couldn't feel anything over the putt on 18. He was just happy he made contact. I love how genuine he is. I you know, if you spend any time with Ryan Fox, he's one of the good guys out there. He's an absolute pleasure to play with, be around, chat with. I couldn't be happier for him.
You hear a lot of people say he seems like the kind of guy you want to have a beer with. Apparently, he doesn't drink beer anymore. He's allergic to it. So a big wine guy. Apparently, wine was flowing heavily. By the way, if you're talking about winners this season in terms of golf, I'd say pace of play at this Open Championship was a big win. It seems like grape was a big win this year as well, Patrick. Felt like a lot of the winners just talked about the wine they were going to drink.
I mean, I think if we want to go one end of the spectrum for pace of play is Ryan Fox. The other end might be Aaron Rye, the PGA Championship
winner. That's right. That's right.
He's pretty deliberate in setting up to the golf ball.
I mean, you think about major winners and you think about the randomness of it happening. I mean, Ben Curtis is a name that comes to mind a lot. We've had kind of the Sean McKeel types that pop up and snag one. They get it done. They win. They beat the best field in golf that week. And they're, you know, forever a major champion. You know, I think you said it well, Patrick, about this guy is, you know, golf fans or maybe fringe golf fans, sports fans might not know a lot about Ryan Fox, but he's been one of those guys over the last couple of years has gotten more comfortable in terms of the way he's played major championships. And I know he doesn't have a top 10, his Wikipedia page is a bit wild to look at, but he has consistently played better in the majors to set himself up, obviously, for this week.
And I just appreciate how he kind of owns the uniqueness of Ryan Fox. He's someone who's very sure of himself, and this day and age, it seems like the young bucks are just coming out of a factory, just hitting it so far, have perfect golf swings. They say everything that's perfect to the media as well. And this guy kind of goes about it his own way, playing golf, you know, picking it up a little bit later, having a unique swing. He flares out his left foot because he's had ankle issues throughout his life and kind of just all that different stuff. And you brought up him not being able to stand still. You know, that's part of the Ryan Fox experience. And it just seems like characters like him are trending towards being a dying breed with how optimized just about everything is in the world. And to see him come through and win with his uniqueness, I think is just an added layer to this victory.
Patrick, with a blade putter. With the blade, you didn't bring up the putter.
Yes. He's he is like of ethical hoopers out there in golf. He might be number one. Pace of play, uniqueness, blade putter. It doesn't get better than that.
It's great. And Johnson, I mean, you played pro golf for a long time. If something's working for somebody else, players typically follow the lead, right? I mean, you think about golf clubs and putters and the top of bags with long irons or lofted woods. We've talked a lot about that over the years on this show. This guy doesn't do anything really that everybody else does, right? The way he plays, the way he putts, Patrick bringing up the stance. I love finding outlier golfers in the pro ranks because it feels like, to Patrick's point, that feels like a dying breed.
Well, hopefully the rest of the professional game will take a page out of Ryan Fox's book and start playing at the pace in which he does. I don't know if you guys saw the video, but from the time Sam Burns holed out on 18, it was 22 seconds before Ryan Fox's ball went in the hole on an 11-footer to win the Open Championship, to play at that pace and to make decisions so confidently. And, I mean, you mentioned it, Patrick, that decision on 15 when he had to play that bunker shot backwards. He didn't take any time. He was like, this is it. Where, meanwhile, you may see a few guys wander around, look at where they want to be. I mean, it's refreshing. I mean, Ludvig Åberg is one of those guys as well. And yeah, maybe they'll start copying Foxy. If fast play works for him, maybe it'll work for Patrick Cantlay.
Wags, is there somebody you feel like is the most disappointed walking away from Birkdale? Is there somebody that you feel like is looking at this week and going, I mean, Scotty had chances. Sam Burns obviously had another opportunity. Do you think there's somebody that's truly kicking themselves considering what happened on Sunday?
I think you named the two of them right there. And for Scottie Scheffler, I mean, you look at the way he struck the ball Friday and how many putts inside 8 feet for birdie he had seemingly on every single hole. It was one of the best links ball striking days I've ever seen. I think Scottie Scheffler, if he thinks real honestly, I think if he had putted average, he would have won this tournament by 10 strokes. It's a shame they don't have strokes gained data because I would love to see the numbers on his putting. But Sam Burns as well, with the lead starting out, he was using the whole week as such a refreshing break. His wife told him to go. She's got the baby under control. And I mean, to shoot that 62 on Friday, kind of when everybody was looking at her, Herbert, and to kind of sneak in there, I thought it was going to be Sam Burns' day on Sunday morning, but unfortunately, he's going to have to wait.
Yeah, early birdie, and then, you know, makes those three bogeys in a row. And Patrick, I think one thing that I am focused on with Sam Burns going forward is we talk so much about the putting, and it feels like on Sundays the putts stop dropping.
Yeah, I would say that. I think for him, his tee to green game was pretty loose on Sunday, and on Friday and Saturday it was just so tight. It felt like he didn't really miss a shot. But you go back to number five in particular, he was greenside with the drive and he chipped it over the green, made a really, really bad bogey there. Then his drive on the next hole finds one of the few hazards there at Royal Birkdale, drops another shot too. And I felt like the putter kind of kept it in him in there late. I think it was 13 perhaps where he made a long par putt where it looked like he was going to be out of this tournament and kind of extended his shelf life a little bit. But yeah, I think Burns this year has stepped up to the plate with some shot making, I would say, especially at the U.S. Open late. I mean, he hit the shots at the U.S. Open. He just yep. didn't hit the putts, as you mentioned. So it's probably a combination of the two.
A great year for Sam Burns. We're going to get to his year and plenty other names here in a bit when we grade the players' major seasons, including the four majors as well. We'll do that. We have not mentioned Bryson DeChambeau yet, who I think in 5 years will be the story of this Open Championship, considering both the good and the bad that happened. From Bryson, Johnson Wagner and I's Instagram replies over the last few days have been hot. So we'll get into Bryson. We'll get into Scotty. We'll talk a little rules when we get back. This is Scorecard. Just what everybody was hoping to get on a Tuesday, talking rules, golf rules. Such a fun conversation, Wags. I mean, anytime you can dive into the ruling. I wanted to start with you, Wags. Weirdest ruling you encountered on the PGA Tour, even Korn Ferry Tour?
I mean, probably some sort of fire ant relief in fescue. I mean, I was pretty good at getting fire ants. Yeah, that's a fire ant right there. See it? And I don't know that I ever had too many off the wall ones, but always would call an official over if I was unsure and try to do everything by the book.
Well, I mean, let's get into Bryson because, again, I think that'll be the storyline that comes out of this Open Championship, Patrick. You know, he plays really well through two rounds. I mean, he was making a push up this leaderboard. It looked like Bryson was going to really, truly contend at this Open Championship for the first time. And then in round two, he has this two-shot penalty, hit it a mile right on the fifth. They find it, and then that's where the controversy starts. He's stepping around the ball, kind of stepping down on the really high grass around his golf ball. Stomping, whatever the case may be. And then he pitches it out and gets the ball out, obviously gets it back into play. The RNA, you know, takes a look at it, talks to him. They go back out there. Obviously, that whole video follows him around for a number of minutes. Apparently, the conversation continued off camera with the RNA. It pushed tee times back. Rory said, I believe he used the word hijacked the golf tournament for a bit in terms of the tee times for the players on Saturday. But Wags, I'll start with you. What was your initial thoughts when you saw the Bryson video for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, I was watching live and saw him step into the shot from that face-on angle, and it was definitely weird. It was like an unnecessary step down onto that piece of fescue. I didn't really think much more of it. I was kind of checking X a little bit throughout the day, and I saw the video posted again, and people were raising questions. So then it started piquing my interest. And after the round, when he went back out and they showed us the angle of him when he first found his golf ball, and the marshal pointed to it, and then he immediately went and stepped down about a 2-yard area of fescue right behind his ball. They had the face-on version that looked even worse. It was pretty clear at that point that he clearly impacted his not only his takeaway, but would also be his downswing, not having to brush through whatever level of fescue grass that was back there. It clearly affected the shot. And for him to handle it the way he did, to go into that scoring area, if he had seen the video, I don't know how you can refute watching that video that there wasn't an infraction. If he had just taken the penalty, walked out, answered a couple questions from the media, and said, I made a mistake, blah, 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 this would all be over and we wouldn't even be talking about it today. For him to go back out there and make the scene in which he did, I found it incredibly childish. Grant Moyer of the RNA is one of the greatest human beings I've ever met in my life. I had the pleasure to interview him for Golf Channel a couple years ago. To treat him and the head of the DP World Tour official with the lack of respect that Bryson showed, I thought it was disgraceful. I love watching him play golf. I think he brings an element to any event that he's in. It raises it immediately, but that performance was absolutely disgraceful.
I mean, Patrick, it is really interesting to kind of watch the way Bryson operates in every situation he's in. Like, nothing is ever normal, right? The driving range till midnight, The way he even goes about the way he practices his putting, social media. I mean, he's obviously set himself up now, you know, avoiding the media for a number of events where he's trying to control his narrative. When that narrative kind of creeps out of his world, it's when, to me, you see the real Bryson. And to Wags's point, you saw the real Bryson for 2 hours, it felt like, straight following that round.
I mean, if he just came out and answered the questions to the media, he probably would have gotten more fans than he could have imagined, right? To take it on the chin, realize that he made a mistake. Because like Wag said, I thought it was pretty cut and dry, the ruling. I think if you wanted to be upset, it's the fact that the ruling didn't occur right away. And there was everything that happened afterwards. And he didn't know he got that two-stroke penalty immediately. And kind of the theatrics of it afterwards, Rory used the term, he took the tournament hostage in that he was performative. It was performative. I mean, for him to not realize that he's making everyone from the volunteers to support staff to everyone on the site there go into the night until 10:30, 11 p.m., miss some of the shuttles because they had to stop running. Like, that is just so selfish. And I think that's what he really showed over the course of those 2 hours, from going back to the site of the crime. You know, one, you never return to the scene of the crime. Never return to the scene.
Can't go back.
Of the crime, Bryson.
Can't go
like,
back.
Like, at that point, it's like he was trying to plant his, like, he's like, oh, I'm touching this right now. It was like a DNA planting scenario, it felt like, where he was touching things even though his fingerprints were already on it. And so he was trying to hide a little bit, it felt like. But it was all very, very selfish at the end of the day. The entire situation, to reportedly trying to call the president as well, it's just ridiculous.
I mean, it is in his core, this is who Bryson is he's performative both for the positive and the negative. I mean, I think something at times when we say performative, and the way Rory said performative was more of the negative, right? The fact that he wants to go out there and he knows the cameras are on him. I would say performative Bryson, I think back to Pinehurst, you know, when he won, and how he was the guy interacting with every fan. He was the guy signing autographs during the middle of rounds when he had a chance to win a U.S. Open. I think the popularity of Bryson, everybody loves to lean into the social media thing, like the YouTube stuff, right? I think Bryson's popularity, you're talking about outliers, Bryson's one of the few guys out there that interacts within rounds at these major championships. And I think fans feel closer to Bryson because of that. But you get the bad with the good when you're performative, and this is who Bryson is. I think it's so easy to kind of slam Bryson for this whole situation. He broke a rule. He got penalized. Who knows if he was doing it? Only he really knows if he was doing it on purpose or if he didn't quite understand what was going on. Now, I've played a decent amount of competitive golf. Wags, I know you have as well, obviously. And you kind of know what's good or bad. And when somebody else sees it, they know it's good and bad as well. The moment I saw the video, I immediately went, I wouldn't do that in an amateur event that doesn't matter, right, in my world. And he's doing it at the Open Championship. But I think it's the performative side on the back end that does have players roll their eyes. You think about Koepka, you know, famously rolling his eyes literally on camera at Bryson. And Rory now coming out, Patrick, for the first time, I believe, you know, like on the record saying, yeah, I don't really like this guy. I mean, that's the first time he's truly said that, right?
I think so. And I obviously people on social media are taking performative and using it against Rory. I think it wasn't, you know, Bryson being performative on the golf course that he was talking about. It was everything after the ruling, right, that Rory was talking about, of the range session and offering media members food and doing all that stuff afterwards. And I'm with you. Like, him kind of poking fun of it the next day when fans were chirping at him, that's fantastic. That's like that is fun. Like, good job interacting with the fans. And even to Rory's point, I don't know if that was necessary, so to speak, to just come out and say, like, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of him, but I love it from the sporting regard, right? Like, golf, you need some sort of rivalry. You need guys to pit themselves against each other. And for this to take the next step, the Bryson and Rory saga, I hope they're in the final group again at the Masters next spring.
Would be great. Wags, one thing I am, listen, Bryson has been, I'll call him a delicate flower since he turned pro. I mean, I covered him at the US Amateur. He won. I was there at his first event after turning professional, when he played in the Shark Shootout alongside Alexi Thompson, and he was putting face on. He has always been a very different style player in terms of being a professional golfer. I do sometimes wonder, Wags, the round ends and then all of this stuff happens. Because the waterfall really is for Bryson in terms of the critics or what happened after the round. I do sometimes wonder who is in his camp that it's telling him, don't do this or do this, right? Because it feels like somebody around him should have the at least the kind of veto button like Bones used to have with Phil Mickelson once a year, where you could be like, hey dude, this isn't it, man. We need to just take our long our take the slap in the face of the two-shot penalty, and we gotta move on. And by you doing this, now you're becoming the story in a negative way.
And I mean, his agent was out there with him the whole time when that was going on. His caddy as well, Greg Bodine, was there as well. I mean, there was one clip I saw when Bryson first stepped in behind the ball. You could see his caddy was wearing glasses, but he was looking right at him. And it was almost like his eyes were like wide, and then he had to look away like he didn't see what he was doing, because I think he knew what he was doing as well. But look, Bryson DeChambeau, and I've said this before, he has brought more eyeballs and grown the game of golf, arguably since Tiger Woods, more than anybody. And I think this is a really slippery slope that he's going down with this whole decision, because as he's bringing so much youth into the game, being an example of how to act and how to behave and how to handle things is just as important as bringing those young people to the game. Because if we have a whole generation of Bryson fans that thinks it's okay to act that way, then we're going to be in trouble in 10, 15 years. And I just would like for him, because he does so much good. If it weren't for Bryson, I wouldn't be with CBS. I mean, he came out at Pinehurst and hit it and watched me hit a shot and handed me the US Open trophy. I'm fully convinced that I have this job because of that moment. So I have a lot that I owe him personally. I just think that the game of golf holds itself at such a different standard, and I think it's a crazy time, and I just want him to try to, maybe next time we see him, he'll walk back some comments and maybe apologize for some of the behavior.
Yeah, he almost seems like a person that once he swallows what he's dealing with, he's a really lovely human being to be around. I mean, I think about, to Patrick's point on the back end, having a bit of fun with it, joking like he had a mower the next day when he went in the fescue, kind of tiptoeing around. Like, that stuff is performative in a positive way. He's having a joke and a laugh with those Open Championship fans. But it's the undermining, professionals at their job, to your point, Wags. It's slowing the whole process, to your point, Patrick. It's hijacking the golf tournament. It's being selfish. Those are the things that I think we in the business roll our eyes at and wish he could avoid doing that and just be the dude that bombs it and makes the putts and gets the fans excited and brings this kind of youth influence that may have not paid attention to the game before. And I think that's the Bryson that we, the golf fans, everybody thinks, in the golf media, everybody thinks hates him. We actually appreciate in terms of who Bryson is. But enough on Bryson. The majors are done. We're going to take a break, come back. We're going to grade the four major championships. Patrick, man, he's tough, dude. Tough teacher. He never gives out an A. We'll see what he has.
Might be
on
an
his
F out there.
When we back. Back here on Scorecard, where we're going to trade in some numbers for letters. We're going to give grades for the men's majors this year. I'll set them up, fellas, just to remind people of what happened. And then I want to hear what you guys think about each major. We'll start, obviously, with the Masters. Sam Burns and Rory, first-round leaders. Rory had a six-shot lead going into the third round. I kind of forgot about the six-shot lead. Shot 73 on Saturday. Cam Young played great. They were tied heading into Sunday. Rory did just enough, shot one under par, a couple of birdies on the second nine there to win by one. I've got it at a B+, fellas. Wags, what'd you have the Masters at this year?
Well, I mean, I'm hoping to be a part of that telecast at some point in my career. The Masters to me is an A+, always.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, that was bold, Shane, to dip it into the B range.
B plus.
I'll be taking over feature groups next year, I guess.
It was not a lot of drama on a Sunday, let's be honest. I mean, it was pretty sleepy after the iron shot on 12 from Rory.
Well, I mean, what about the Sergio Garcia incident on our air, Shane, when he took the divot and then we got to see the talking to down four? I mean, there was plenty of there's plenty
that
of stuff.
Fun. That was fun. What'd you have it as, Patrick?
I went A- myself. I think they threw some water on the greens in between Thursday and Friday too, which I wasn't a huge fan of. And then it just felt a bit more commercialized this year as a whole, I would say, the Masters. And because of that, I dipped it down just a smidge there. But I think the golf tournament itself was a 12 out of 10.
Now you guys are ridiculous, right?
Yeah. Okay. I got some brown on my nose. It's okay.
If you guys are giving A's to this year, what was last year? Was it like that's not a grade?
I gave A- this year. Last year was an A+.
I mean, they were not that close. Come on, Patrick. All right, we'll go to PGA Championship.
Yeah, well, there's an A in between.
Obviously. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Six tied after the opening round 67. Scotty was a part of that. McNealy, Smalley, 36 hole leaders at 4 under. Rory, Ludvig, Rahm all made moves on Saturday. Rory was 3 back. Ludvig and Rahm were both 2 back. And then Aaron Rye shot that 67 on Saturday. He was 2 back, played the final 10 holes, 6 under par to win by 3. If you guys didn't like the B+ on the Masters, you're not going to like my career. I went C+ for the PGA Ooh. Championship. C+, Wags.
Damn.
I disagree. I mean, I love all the majors. I put it at an A-. I think the talk at the beginning of the week about how players were just going to annihilate Aronimink and we were going to see record scoring, and then the golf course just got brutally difficult with the hole locations. Sunday, there were so many different people that had a chance to win, and if it had been Rory McIlroy that had gone 6 under in his last 10 holes and won that event the way Aaron Rye did, I think you'd be giving it an A. So I'm definitely giving it an A-. I thought Aronimink showed that out when I was a little bit concerned about the venue, but I thought, you know, if you have a bigger name win, it's an A+, but I give it an A-.
Very fair point, Patrick. Did you have what do you got, A- or A+? What are you going with?
I'm in the B range. I went to B+. I thought the Alex Smalley Momager storyline kind of took too much airtime at some
Way
point. That's one that Wags really likes himself. Some of the course, like, setup, not the setup necessarily, but it felt at times it was a little putting contest-esque. And then we saw with Cam Smith that final round, I think he hit negative fairways, and he still somehow shot 3-4 under, too. Justin Thomas was somewhat similar. So just because of that, it was a B+. But I'm with Wags. I thought down the stretch that golf tournament on the back nine rocked.
When Alex Smalley started to buck last week, Patrick, were you just getting a little nervous about the storylines that were going to follow at the Open?
I was nervous for him just knowing how relentless media is over there.
Yeah, exactly. Totally agree. All right, we'll move on to U.S. Open. Shinnecock. Everybody loves Shinnecock. Wyndham Clark, first round leader. This will be the storyline of the week. He shot 64. Easy to forget. Dustin Johnson was solo second on Thursday. Wyndham leads after each round, 4 clear at the halfway mark over Fitzpatrick, Tom Kim, Xander, and Sam Stevens. Shot 70 on Saturday. He was 6 clear of 4 guys, including Scottie Scheffler. Burns shoots 67 on Sunday. Clark 73. Clark wins by 1. Burns has a putt on the 18th. I thought this one was pretty solid. Again, I think the end of the day, you know, Wyndham Clark winning a second U.S. Open might not be the most exciting, but I think this was pretty good. I'll say this was a B, Patrick.
A B? So what are you at right now? What's the highest for you?
Masters is a B+. PGA was a C+. U.S. Open's a B.
Okay, I'm at A- and B+, I think. I felt like I'm going to knock PGA down to a B retroactively, and then I'm going to slot this one as a B+, because I'm trying to rank them accurately in my head right now. But I thought it was fantastic theater. I thought the golf course was great. I was a little disappointed with kind of how wispy the long rough was out there, the fescue at Shinnecock. Wish that was a little bit more penal, but anytime you get a U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills, you have a Grand Slam opportunity. You have guys trying to chase down a guy who had a 6-stroke lead heading into Sunday. He was going to be in the history books no matter what. I thought it was very, very compelling down the stretch and at a great golf course. So B+ for me.
Wags?
I'm also going B+, and I'm going to contradict myself a little bit here. I want to applaud the USGA, Jeff Hall, Bodenhammer, all those guys for the way they handled the setup of that golf course early in the week with the high winds and slowing the greens and putting water on it. But at the same time, I'm a glutton for punishment, and I really wish we could have seen Shinnecock running at 12 with the winds we had and just had absolute carnage out there. Give me the Tom Meeks, the old USGA, and it would have been a totally different story, and that's what I like. But no, in all seriousness, the USGA did a wonderful job setting that golf course up because it could have gotten way out of hand Thursday, Friday. But B+.
And then the Long Island fans, Shane, we're lucky we're not knocking this down to an F with their behavior, obviously.
Extremely, extremely good point. Extremely good point there, Patrick. All right, last one. We just watched an Open Championship. I thought it was a really good week. We got the Bryson drama. We got Scotty ruling drama on Sunday. Scotty in the hunt once again. Tommy making a bit of a run, kind of a run. I mean, not really a run, but he was jogging, I guess, on Sunday. I had this B+, Patrick.
I went A-, on par with the Masters, I would say. I thought the golf course was fantastic. It's not often that you get to see so many options off the tee and to see players have a strategy the first day and then kind of change it a little bit. It felt like throughout the week they started to realize, like, oh, maybe we should start sending it a little bit more. Again, kind of similar to Shinnecock Hills, I think a couple things you could have pointed out from course setup point of view was they watered those greens pretty good at Royal Birkdale, it felt like, and the rough was also pretty wispy. But I thought Birkdale showed out. It's unfortunate that it's next to Valhalla and LACC in terms of golf courses to yield 62s in major championships, but that's just the unfortunate side of it for it.
I mean, and I'd say this, Wags, before you get your grade, I mean, 62s were out there if you played great, but I mean, it wasn't like 25 under won this Open Championship. I mean, I think that was the cool part of this, was you were capable of going out and shooting 7 or 8 under par, but that next day it might be even if you miss a couple of fairways in the wrong spot.
And I think that just speaks to the RNA. I think they do such a great job setting up their major championship venues. If it's been a rainy year, the rough will be lush and it'll play a lot slower. And they just let, I mean, one of their slogans is forged by nature. And I just think that they never miss. I can't remember ever complaining about a setup at a Open Championship. So I give it a solid A.
You guys are so nice. We're going to do grades for players next. I need some C's, D's.
We'll be meaner. We'll be meaner.
I need you guys to be a little bit meaner. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to grade the notable players, their seasons at the men's majors. That's next on Scorecard. That segment might have ended, but this one will not. Grades are continuing. Let's grade the players this season at the men's majors. We'll start with Scotty. No wins, obviously, finished second at the Masters, T14 at the PGA, T4 at the U.S. Open, T4 at the Open Championship. A great season for anybody that is not named Scottie Scheffler. I give him a solid B, Wags. I think it was a good, solid season, but no wins, I think, is the glaring, obviously, outlier for Scottie Scheffler.
So clearly you're grading on a curve, because if it was anybody else and take the name out and just throw the finishes, it would be an A-. I'm going to give Scottie an A-.
Okay, I'm going to go with C+ for Scottie Scheffler. It's a
nice.
It's a
like
year
that.
In his prime where he is by far the best player in the world. And you look at cumulative major championship leaderboard, he's number one. Strokes gained in majors this year, number one. And not to come away with a trophy, I think it's going to be a tough pill to swallow.
Had two real chances, too. I think that's the important part, is real opportunities on back nines to win majors. Rory did win a major, obviously got a win at the Masters second straight. T7 at the PGA, T32 at the U.S. Open, T40 at the Open. Easy to be critical, Wags, about Rory, considering the way he played the majors late. But, I mean, this guy went 10 years without winning a major. If he wins a major that season, I'm giving him an A.
Completely agree. I mean, back-to-back Masters. I know we hadn't seen him play a ton. It would have been nice to see him in a little bit better form for the last couple majors, but still an A.
Yep, A+ for me. I am curious if he switches up his schedule next year a little bit to find some of that form, Wags.
Can you switch your schedule up if you don't play golf tournaments is the question. I guess we will see in 2027. Tommy Fleetwood, T33, missed the cut at the PGA, T11 at the U.S. Open, T4 at the Open Championship, coming off that win last year. I think a lot of people looked at Shinnecock and obviously Birkdale's opportunities for Tommy Ladd. I gave him a C-, Wags. Just one real opportunity to really find himself in contention with five holes to play. The missed cut, not great. Didn't play great at Augusta. I think Tommy's a little bit better player than those finishes this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give him a C+. I'd give him a B-, but y'all are going to give me a hard time for being too nice. Playing at home's tough. I thought it was really impressive what he did at the Open Championship. But other than that, it was pretty lackluster. Definitely was expecting a step out of him this year.
I went B-, Wags. I stole your grade. I think the Masters performance, he was there heading into the weekend, and then Shane Lowry took all his superpowers with that hole-in-one. And then I thought the Open performance with all the pressure was pretty impressive.
All right, Matty Fitz, who's had a great season, T18 at Augusta, T14 at the PGA, 22nd at the U.S. Open. Then, unexpectedly, surprisingly, misses the cut at the Open Championship, considering the way he's playing. I think that was shocking. And really, the majors are some of his worst finishes of the season. I got a C- for Matt Fitzpatrick, Wags.
Yeah, I'm going to go C as well. I mean, Patrick made the point about Scottie Scheffler. Being in your prime, you only have so many years of a window to win major championships. As good as he was playing, it's going to be a lost year. C all the way.
Yeah, D+ for me. It's just like he catapulted himself to what I thought was the third best player in the world and then was a complete non-factor in these four tournaments.
Man, D, first D on the board. I like to see it. How about Sam Burns? Great season for Sam Burns in the major championships. T7 at Augusta, T26 at the PGA, second at the U.S. Open, third at the Open Championship. Easy A, Wags, for me.
I'm with you all the way. I mean, Sam Burns is doing everything. He's just not winning. I mean, it seemed like he had that stretch about 5 years ago where he was winning consistently. But, yeah, it's a solid performance, but he's going to be upset not getting the W this year.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. I am curious what his takeaway is, what perspective he takes. You know, he's in contention a lot this year, but he doesn't get across the finish line, and it's an A- for me.
Double the perspective. How about John Rahm, T38 at the Masters, T2nd at the PGA, missed the cut at Shinnecock, T46 at the Open Championship, shot 78 in the opening round at Augusta, 78 in the second round of the U.S. Open, 74 in the final round of the Open Championship. I got a D, Wags, for John Rahm. Just a real non-factor in three of the four majors. It's kind of becoming who John Rahm is when we see him play in these major championships.
Yeah, it was nice to see him at the PGA Championship on that back nine. He had that look in his eye like the John Rahm of old, but that was the only little bright patch. I'm a D as well. I expect more out of him, and I feel like he's just kind of thrown away the prime of his career with the move to live.
Yeah, watch out, guys. We might get aggregated for these takes, but I'm with you, too. We've been getting clipped a lot when talking about John Rahm, but for someone who has been a top three player, like he's been in the tier of Rory and Scotty these last handful of years, to not give himself multiple chances at a major championship in the thick of his prime, it has to be disappointing.
And I keep hearing prime with Rahm. I just want to say, is there a possibility that we are past the prime is something that I'm really considering when you look at the finishes as of late in these major championships for John Rahm. Got to show up at some point, right? I know he was around there at the PGA, but not quite getting over the hurdle and then disappears at times.
I mean, it's probably going to be tough to match the peak of 23 with the Masters and what was it, two or three other wins, and then the Ryder Cup. He was fantastic in Rome, but gosh, I think there's more to John Rahm than just being out of the prime right now.
Yeah, I think Colin Morikawa can still be ahead.
Yeah. I hope so. I mean, it's better when he's in contention. He's much like Bryson in that regard. Colin Morikawa, T7 at the Masters, T55 at the PGA, T17 at the U.S. Open, T18 at the Open Championship. I mean, I got a C-. His T7 at the Masters, Patrick, his lone top 10 in his last 10 major championships.
He might be the most disappointed player, just given how he was playing heading into March and what happened with health and everything. I gave him a C+ just because of some of the injury stuff, but I thought he was going to be a real threat this weekend at the Open, but just tapered off a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you on the C+. It's so unfortunate because I think Colin Morikawa was headed back to the winning ways of major championship glory this year, but hopefully next year, hopefully he can come back out even stronger.
Got a few more names here. Cam Young, T3, T26, T43, second. I give him an A. I mean, found himself in the conversation at two majors. Probably a bit disappointed with that late bogey on Sunday at the Open Championship, but he went out there and shot the number, Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Young just keeps growing and progressing. I'm fully confident he'll win a major at some point. He's just so good. He hits the ball solid. He's putting it great. It's a solid B, though, because he's got to get across that finish line at some point. I mean, the Players is not a major championship, so B.
I'll split the difference, B plus. I appreciate that he went for the shot there on the 72nd hole, even though it didn't pan out for him trying to hit the green with his second. So B plus for me.
This one will be easy. Bryson DeChambeau, cut, T14, F for me for Bryson. Missed the cut in three of the four majors.
I'll go D minus. He was in contention heading into the weekend at the Open, which is a step in the right direction with his Open championship history.
I'm going F as well. I mean, the Royal Birkdale was probably the least. I thought probably the worst venue for him. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he plays Augusta Nationals, a par 67, so he should be playing better there.
I will say this, next year, Bryson and St. Andrews, if he's driving it, and hitting that big old draw, it's going to play
Pebble,
well
back
there.
at Pebble too.
We'll see. And he's played Pebble well before. Xander Schauffele, kind of sneaky, Patrick. Great year in the majors. T9,
No.
T7, T11, T18. How about this? Fourth time in his career, he's finished in the top 20 in all four majors in a season. I
Yeah,
got him at
so
B, Patrick.
I got him at a C. Falling back into some bad habits, Xander Schauffele. A lot of floor performances. And you pretty much said it. He does this every single year for his career, so it's a pretty average year for Xander Schauffele, then. He's better than this.
Yeah, B minus for me. I agree with you. He is better than this. He's going to win a U.S. Open at some point. I look forward to watching that.
Ludwig, T21, T4, T17, T9, C plus for Ludwig. Just need a little more out of the guy at this level of event. And Johnson, he's starting to look a little like that player that's got a great golf swing and everything looks to be dialed in. But on Sunday, he internally, it seems like more things are going maybe bouncing around in that head than we thought they'd be.
I mean, we talk Ludvig Åberg like he's one of the. I mean, he is one of the best players in the world. But I'd give me Cam Young any day of the week over Ludvig. I give him a B minus.
Yeah, I'm in between you two. Just that one chance, really, at the PGA Championship alongside Aaron Rye. I didn't even see a shot there from him at the Open. So good to hear his result.
We gotta run through these last few, so I'll just pick and choose a couple of them. Justin Thomas, T41, T4, T17, T65. I got a C minus, Patrick, for Justin Thomas.
Yeah, sure. Doesn't do much for me. Made the cut in all four though, which I guess is nice.
I think
Yeah, I
he
was
may be
looking at
past his
this
prime.
for first
Past his
time
prime.
Wags making the cut in all four majors since 2022 for JT Wags.
Shocking. Shocking.
All right, last one, Spieth. What do you got? Just give me a grade.
F.
D.
I got D minus. One top 20 finish or one top 15 finish, and that was at the Masters. All right, that is your grades for the big boys in the majors this season. And we'll be back on scorecard here in just a bit. We are back. Golf Never Sleeps 3M is this week. We're going to give out our picks. We don't have a lot of time, Wag, so we're just going to give out picks. We're not going to be negative, only positive. I will start with who I feel like can win this week at the 3M. I got Max Homa. I got Mr. Suber on my list as well. My champion, though, is a young pro. This kid from Connecticut got all the game in the world, has already bucked a bit as a pro. I got Ben James taking home the 3M Open, Wags. Who do you think is going to win?
I agree with you on Max Homa. Scottie Scheffler's in the field. He's about to make his run for his fifth straight player of the year, but he's going to get just clipped at the finish by Sam Stevens. He's going to be the 3M champion.
It's like basically what his 2026 is. Go ahead,
Yeah,
Patrick.
give me Tom Kim this week, and I like some good starts from Corey Connors and Joel Damon as well.
Tom Kim, the pick. What a fun week. Men's major season done. Golf is not. 3M Open Saturday and Sunday, 3 Eastern on CBS and Paramount Plus. We'll see you guys all next Tuesday.
Paramount Podcasts.